Welcome to this week's episode of our podcast, where we talk all things telly with me, Claire.
And me, Rebecca. Each week we'll be chatting through what shows we've been watching, as well as discussing what's caught our eye from the world of pop culture.
We'll also be keeping you in the loop as to what you should be series linking in the coming 7 days.
At the end of the episode, one of us will pick something for the other to watch so that we can chat about it next time.
And we'd love you to tune in along with us. This is
Spilling the TV. Hi there.
Hello. Hey there. Stranger.
That was very American of me, wasn't it? Hey there.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay.
How has your week been?
Yeah, it's been really busy, as you know. Yes, so we had the play last week, 5 performances, and I was pretty, zombified after it. Like, really, really more tired. Probably what you're experiencing with having a toddler and being heavily pregnant.
Shall we explain how tonight's recording has gone so far?
Yes, go for it.
So we have been here, Claire arrived, and my child. Just before she arrived, I did ask my husband if we needed to maybe contact a priest. Can you tell me, do you remember when the kids were toddlers? Because 2, honestly, not an issue. 3.
Oh, gosh.
I thought we were getting away with murder. And I don't mean to be bad-mouthing the poor guy, but...
Do you know, I just think they go through wee phases like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, is this the first night that he's been unsettled?
He usually wouldn't be like this at this time of night. It's not the first time he's had one of these tantrums.
Yeah.
But it is the first nighttime, bedtime. Yeah. Oh my God, it's just a lot, isn't it?
I wonder, does he know just what's coming down the track?
With the new baby?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It could be that.
Anyway.
The wee pet.
Sorry, tell me about the play. So you're wrapped now after 5 performances. And I have to say, I did go along to one of them. And you won't say it yourself, but it was
amazing. I might.
Give you a chance. It was amazing, Claire. It was so good. And you were so funny. And you had said to me loads that I'd recognise loads of the lines. Mm-hmm. And I totally did. It was jam-packed.
It was jam-packed full of those just quotes that we're so familiar with.
Yeah.
And you don't always think of where they come from. And I don't know that I necessarily knew that they were from Lady Windermere's Fan before we...
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have either. Some of them you'd recognise as Oscar Wilde quotes, but I wouldn't know the particulars.
But yeah, there's tons in that particular play.
So for anyone who doesn't know the play, could you give a little tiny brief synopsis?
Yeah, so the premise is that there's a young woman who's coming of age. She's Lady Windermere. She's married to Lord Windermere. And on the night of her coming of age ball, she is told that her husband has been having an affair. And so the whole way through, he is denying that he's had an affair, but we don't really know who this woman is that has come into their lives.
A woman of ill repute.
A woman of ill repute, let's say. And so the play really is about the discovery of really who she is. But so that's the plot. But I suppose the premise is all this hypocrisy and
double standards
and gossip and scandal and cancel culture almost as well.
So true.
Yeah. It's so relevant today.
That's what I couldn't get over. And I kept saying to my mum, who came in with me, I was kind of going, this could be about today's world where women are held to a different standard.
Completely.
And I was thinking, how provocative and... how outrageous must it have been when it came out?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. So ahead of its time.
I know.
And do you know what is still very relevant today, which I thought there was a huge amount of it in that play, was the internalised misogyny.
Yeah.
So the women who were casting aspersions on other women.
Yeah.
More so even than the men.
Yeah, you know? As much if not more so.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good though. I really enjoyed it.
It was such a good experience. A really... gorgeous bunch of people.
Yeah. Oh, it was brilliant.
Yeah, it was great.
You must be exhausted.
I'm okay now, but, you know, the 6 o'clock a.m. end to our wrap party didn't help, I think, probably, with the tiredness. But, I'm fine now, but I was shattered. I really was. But you're so good for coming and your lovely mummy.
Oh.
I think she's so good. She's so effusive about...
She loved it.
Yeah,
she did.
She really did. It was lovely.
So you have been rehearsing and performing. Have you gotten a chance to watch anything?
Not really in the last week, although I did catch up a little bit over the weekend. But I think in the weeks prior to that, I had watched a good bit.
Yeah, same as.
Yeah. How have you been doing with TV?
So I'm dying to know if you've watched, we spoke about it, Kingdom of Dreams. Have you watched any of it?
No, Rebecca. Claire. I know. And I know it's going to be up my street, but I keep forgetting about it.
Okay, well.
Spoil it for me, but I really want to watch it.
I promise I won't spoil it for you. I didn't really know what it was about, but for anyone who hasn't watched it, honestly, I don't even think you need to be into fashion, because I sat down and watched an episode with Craig one night.
Okay.
And he was really into it. So what it is, it's a docu-series exploring what is referred to as the golden age of fashion. Mm. So the 90s mm-hmm. and the noughties. Mm-hmm. But it's not just about like the trends. It's about the business behind trends. Mm-hmm. And it's about, it kind of centers around the four designers. So it's John Galliano, who was at Dior, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
Alexander McQueen at Givenchy, mm-hmm. Tom Ford at
Gucci,
and then YSL, and then Marc Jacobs at Louis Vuitton.
Okay.
And kind of how, I suppose it's a bit sinister, but it's amazing. So
wow.
It's on Sky Documentaries. So if anyone has catch up, I really think it's really well made. It's really interesting. A great insight into what we aspire to when we're buying into these luxury brands. Mm-hmm. It's quite eye-opening. Mm-hmm. But Claire, you will love it.
I know. I'm glad you brought that up now, because I almost forgot about it again. But I will. It's going to watch it this week and we can chat about it
next week.
And if the listeners watch it this week too, and then they can tune in and see if they
Definitely. I'd really rate it, really recommend it.
Good.
I wanted to ask you, because I can't remember. I don't know if we've discussed it, but are you and I'm a Celeb Girl?
I watch it because the kids love it, particularly Hugo. It's actually the only thing now that the four of us watch together, really. So I am watching it. I have lots of thoughts. It's really funny. Isla was talking to me about this today. She had started to look back at old episodes online. And she was saying, Mum, it used to be much more like authentic, you know, the interactions between the celebrities. It feels now that everyone is so self-aware.
And savvy, maybe.
Totally savvy. So you're not really, like, I mean, Boy George is being annoying and no one is talking about the fact that he's just being annoying.
Okay.
And, you know, even...
What about Matt Hancock? I watched one episode, and it was because we just flicked and we saw a teaser about how his fellow campmates kind of got stuck in, and we were intrigued to watch that. But beyond that, I haven't stuck with it. But how are you... Like,
you know, it's kind of as I predicted. They're all kind of getting on with him.
Okay.
They want to dislike him, but they're sort of... Actually,
is he likeable?
No, he's not, but he's... He's trying his damnedest to be fitting in, and he's even doing flipping TikTok dances with them. And he's...
Is it cringy?
Oh, it's totally cringy. And he's done loads of trials and has done superbly well in them.
Okay.
And I really think that it will soften the flipping British public, and it is undeserved.
No.
He's getting 400,000 for it, and he just presided over the biggest shambles... crisis, you know, in our history and in health and public health, and for him to have the absolute lack of self-awareness to go on to that and do that is just staggering to me. Maybe I'm underestimating the British public, but I just have a sense, now I could be wrong, it remains to be seen, maybe he'll be voted off first, but he certainly has a sense that he is doing very well in this. It's just infuriating.
Yeah. I haven't watched... I love it. I love Gogglebox. But I haven't watched in ages. It'd be interesting to know
That'll be good.
Have you been watching it?
No, I haven't. And actually...
I've fallen away from that a bit.
Yeah, me too.
I had them all recorded.
Yeah, me too. That only because, like, I just haven't had time. But that'll be a really good barometer, won't it?
I think so. I think... Do you know what I wanted to mention to you? That you're going to be raging that you're not a Made in Chelsea fan. Because guess... who has made an appearance on Made in Chelsea.
Ooh.
In a dream reality rubbish.
Mashup.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ella from Married at First Sight Australia.
Stop it.
I know. She's a love interest.
Stop it.
So she's travelled over from Australia to the Lothario Miles.
Oh my God, I might have to tune in. And is he likeable? Is he nice?
He just goes through women like there's no tomorrow.
Is he like this series Spencer?
I suppose so. Yeah, he probably is. Mm. Spencer, little throwback. He is. He's a disaster. But I wish you watched that a bit more. But look,
I know. Don't tempt me. I probably would end up getting into it if I started it.
Do you know what? It's so dramatic. There's so much drama. There's so much backstabbing. All they do is talk behind each other's backs, and I love it.
But does it feel?
No, it actually feels like they're being their true selves, which is horrific. Oh, come here, I must say to you. Over the course of the podcast, can you give me a heads up if you hear my nose whistling?
Because this is what?
This is a thing, right?
This is a party trick?
Every time, this is my second time being pregnant. But when I'm pregnant, my nose does this whistly thing. Like there's a little referee up in my nostrils. And so just give me a heads up.
Okay.
You'll hear it now that I've pointed it out.
What the hell's that about?
It's not just Craig.
No, do you know, because it's like
swelling.
Yes, your sinuses and everything get all compacted.
My lips get like
swollen.
Yeah.
Do you remember, not to get back to Kim, do you remember Kim Kardashian's lips used to swell up?
Do you remember the, yes, I do.
But
do
her
remember,
feet.
That's me. That's where I'm at the moment. Swelling and whistling. So heads up would be greatly appreciated.
I haven't noticed.
I was going to say, have you? I mean, obviously, I know the answer. You're up to date with the Kardashians, are you?
No, I'm not. I didn't see it last Thursday because busy. And I haven't just had a chance to catch up since.
Yeah.
What was your feeling?
Yeah, so it was
the wedding, was it?
No.
No,
it wasn't. It was Courtney and Travis. Going to Italy for their dress fitting. And
That was the week before, was it not?
It was the same episode, as the Marilyn dress.
No. I saw the first bit of it. I didn't see the bit where she was actually getting the fitting and Pete was there.
Yeah, I don't think he made an appearance. Am I up to date?
He's kind of, I think he was just sort of, you could see his legs.
His legs. They referenced him a bit and his stylist.
Okay.
But unless I am an episode behind, the last one I saw, kind of the main storyline was Kim, you know, not getting her way. She wasn't fitting into the dress. And then she went on this major, which we've spoken about before, major regime. Still wasn't happening until Kris Jenner made a call. And made Ripley's Believe It or Not say yes to the dress.
Stop it.
I know.
Wonder what she said. Does it show?
It doesn't reveal. She just said her answer when they asked her, what did you say, was, you know, if someone says no to you, you're talking to the wrong person. Which is so Kris Jenner, isn't it?
Do you know, actually, that's a really good point. Like, Kris Jenner, like, she is probably even more fascinating than Kim. And she can come across as this sort of like, do you know,
caricature of,
but she must be a shit hot businesswoman.
I'd love to know what she's really like. I'd love to be a fly on the wall, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
I do find every scene with her a bit boring and contrived.
Yes
but yeah,
at the same time, she's the one who conceived of this whole
family
or literally conceived and produced.
Exactly.
but the whole conceived all their business ideas and, well, not
it
so much
did
later.
She though, like, okay, I'm too cynical, like,
yes, well, that's what I'd love to know.
I know
who else is involved, like that girl that I told you about, the Emma Greed, who's like very involved in Good American Skins.
Oh, yeah.
And her husband is very involved too, so they're definitely
in the melange.
But from a business point of view,
she's interesting. I'd love to get more info.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, again, I think we agreed we were a bit, we were just watching for the sake of it now at this stage, aren't we?
Do you know what I started to watch? Because you said to me, I think you should give it a watch. And I'm right up to speed.
Go
with
on.
The whole feckin' thing. I think it was 2 weekends ago.
Love is Blind.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'd say you've probably even passed me out.
Probably.
But I'm into it.
Me too.
Do you know what I want to talk about?
I'm halfway through the reunion.
Oh, that's my God. Okay. Jeepers. Mm. When did you squeeze that in?
Oh, stop it.
it's okay. Sorry. The first thing I do want to talk about is that guy and his fake crying. Remember when he sat down and he said to the producer, is it okay to use these eye drops?
Oh, my God. That was hilarious. That was like a...
I know.
Did that happen?
I know, I can't. I love that they left it in.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
So Machiavellian. I love it.
So, and they, oh, I'll not spoil it for you. I don't know where you're at.
Okay, where am I at? They definitely are on their, they're in a luxury resort. And the last episode I watched really pulled me in with the title. It was called Trouble in Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I can tell you, Colleen and, what's your man's name? The jock fella. Mm-hmm. Basically, he was like, yeah,
Cole.
You're my type.
Cole. Yeah. And Colleen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not likeable, are they?
They're not likeable. And you know, to be honest with you now, I'm halfway through the actual reunion.
Okay, so you know a lot.
It's going to be one of those series, Rebecca, that you watch it all and you're so into it and you can't stop watching the next episode. Yeah. And then you're going to go, why did I watch? You know the way some you go, oh God, I love that. And you care about them. Like I still, Ella now from Married at First Sight, like there's something about her.
I know.
There was something interesting about her and she was gorgeous to look at, but she had a bit of something about her. And as soon as you said Ella, I knew exactly who you meant. Yeah. In another month, when you mention any of these names to me, I'm not going to remember who they are.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. Are we recommending it? I'm recommending it for someone who wants to just...
binge.
Yeah, and have just bubblegum for the brain.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And there's some... Yeah, no, there's some goods. But the men are so reprehensible. Like, it's just...
Do you enjoy the pod bits or the post-pod bits better?
The pod bits, I think.
I think I'm the same.
Yeah.
And it doesn't last very long.
No. And I actually think the first series was better as well. I think, they didn't really know what they were getting themselves into as much as...
I know.
It's like any of these series, they just become too self-aware.
Yeah. I like that guy with the flipping eye drops.
Oh my God, but I mean, that was crazy. Like, how did he think he was going to get away with that?
I wanted to ask you, we spoke about it on the last pod and I'm nearly like nervous to bring it up because anyone I've spoken to has been like, how are you watching that? So I started watching Dahmer.
So did I, because you had asked me to watch it.
And I think I know what you're going to say is what everyone says is that they couldn't get beyond the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I could have probably, Rebecca. I could have if I... I had a little bit more time, but it was the kind of thing where, you know, like work can be tough and then you're coming home and you really just want something to lift you a little bit.
I hear you.
And the first episode was just so...
Horrendous.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
And it's so recent. Yeah, I mean, I think it seems to be really well done from what I can see. I mean, it's so you have a visceral response to it, so that's testament to how well it's done.
Yeah, that's it, I suppose. And I'm wary to recommend it to everyone because it's not going to be for everyone.
No.
And I actually didn't think it would be something I would continue with. And I probably wouldn't have maybe if it weren't for Craig. But I'm on probably episode 7 or 8 now out of 10. There are 10 episodes. And there have been times where I've not looked, you know, tell me when this bit is over quite a lot. But I really think it's a really good version of that kind of series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to say, like, it makes you think so much because it's not just the horror of the murders.
No, it's the racism.
Mm-hmm. And the injustice within the police system. And it's so, you use the word visceral. It's like that across the board.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get beyond, this sounds so, I don't mean to sound not sensitive about it because it's really hard to, but if you can.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I totally get it. And I think at a, like maybe even next week, I could switch into that and be not.
Timing is definitely a part of it.
Timing is definitely, and it depends what you need when you sit down to watch TV.
Yeah.
Like even Roger will say to me sometimes, you know, will we watch this or that? And I might just say, actually, could we just stick on an episode of Gogglebox?
Yeah.
Just to, because I know I'm going to laugh. Or can we just stick on a recorded episode of Graham Norton?
Yeah.
Do you know, just because I know I'm not going to be able to concentrate and I want something that's going to be light and
Totally. And for anybody who maybe is listening to us who isn't sure what it is and might just dip their toes into it, it is based on a true story of a serial murder. So I guess watch with caution, but enjoying is the wrong word, but it's
so many people
engaging
have said that
me.
They can't stop watching it, even though it's horrific.
Yeah, it's really, really horrific. And it's, I think that's all you can say about it.
Tell me this to move on to something much lighter.
Tell me this and tell me no more. Go on.
So, first of all, I finished the first series of White Lotus.
Okay, I forgot you were behind me.
Oh my God. So, which I loved it. Yeah. I think everyone should watch it. It's just super, super. Yeah. I just loved it. And I started the next series.
Yes, I haven't started it yet.
Have you not? I've just watched one episode and I really liked it.
Totally new cast or...
So the only...
Jennifer Cutledge, is that
yes.
her name?
Yes.
Is that her surname, Cutledge?
Cutledge, I think, or Cutridge.
Okay.
Can't remember, but...
Can we still call her Stifler's mum?
We can call her Stifler's mum. Her and her husband.
Stifler's mum.
Her and her husband, that character. Oh, we don't know her. You didn't know she was... So she... Did she get... You know the guy that she was with at the end?
The guy who she thought was with Black Lives Matters?
Yes.
Okay, so they reappear. Yeah. They're the only two.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, and she's so such a sad character. She plays it so well.
I have it downloaded and ready to rock.
Yeah, it's super.
One other thing we chatted about, and this is a few weeks back, and I only got a chance to sit down, and it was one of those ones where, I don't know about you, but I always have like a really good... I have a really well stocked recorded section on my telly.
Yeah,
like
too.
It's better stocked than my fridge. Yeah. But I had, do you remember we talked about that travelogue program, John Richardson and his mother-in-law?
Yes.
Did you watch it?
No.
It was funny. It was good. It was, she was so good and it was a really good dynamic. And I think it was Channel 4. And again, if you wanted to sit down and kind of have a bit of a
laugh, and
yeah, I think it's worth watching.
Oh, good, because I like him.
He's very funny.
Yeah, he is. He's so droll.
And you just get a sense that that's exactly who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But she was as good. She could have been the celebrity, you know? Yeah, so I think you'd actually like that.
I'd love that. I'd love that. Did you watch The Bake Off?
Oh, was the final on last night or something? So no, I totally fell away from it.
Oh my God.
I told you that, didn't I?
The standard was shocking.
Yeah. So did you stay with it though?
Well, I kind of dipped in and out of it, but I watched the final last night and...
Am I right in saying that Noel Fielding didn't make the final?
He made the showstopper and that was it. He must have been sick. I missed the announcement was. So Matt, there was loads of Matt on it and he was just intensely annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he's trying so hard
and he's not going to get that gig next year.
I don't think he's a fit, is he? Who would you pick as your second for Noel Fielding?
Jesus, I don't know.
You'd probably pick Claudia.
I was going to say. Can I pressure your drums? I'd pick Claudia.
Yeah.
But has she not done something else like that? Did she do...
So she's BBC, isn't she?
Yeah.
And this is Channel 4. Do they kind of swap over? No.
Well, she used to do, and I think it might have been the same, it was the same format anyway. Do you remember the Great British Sewing Bee? Did she do that?
I don't know. If you had to pick an Irish talent to pair with Noel Fielding, who do you think would be good? Joanne McNally.
Yes.
Someone like her would be good, wouldn't they?
Oh my God. She would be amazing hosting one of those things, wouldn't she?
She'd be so good. I'd say it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, yeah, it really is only a matter of time. She's super, even when she was a guest on, Love Island After Sun.
Yeah. Oh my God, she went to town on them, didn't she?
Totally. She was not a bit concerned about, saying the right thing. She was amazing. And that's what we need. Oh my God, everything has become so whitewashed.
Yeah, I know.
Hasn't it?
Yeah. Are you about to get problematic and make some bold statements or something?
No, but it's just like, ugh, everything's like the same shade.
I know.
Everybody's so insipid on the TV.
It's just bothering you.
It is. I'm just kind of like, for God's sake. Mm. And it's cancel culture. If somebody came out and said something, well, no, I don't like them. They're whatever. They're like getting accused of bullying or I don't know. I just, ugh. It's just annoying me.
I even feel it. I don't know if you feel it, but I find myself censoring like, not all the time, but I am conscious of saying something that is going to be.
Speaking of which,
what?
We haven't talked about your documentary.
Oh my god,
it was so good, Rebecca.
Oh, it was so
well
received.
You must have been really proud of that.
I am really proud of it. I'm really proud of it, and I'm really proud of, I guess, the people who took part.
Yeah.
So this was a documentary that went out on the 4th of November on TG Car around menopause, mm-hmm. and it was fronted and co-produced by Grainne Shoige, mm-hmm. and it featured. Yeah, I don't know. Well, you're not going to tell me what you didn't like.
Oh, no, I loved it. And actually, do you know what? Just completely out of the blue today.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone in work and I was saying I was getting back to hosting or to recording the podcast tonight. Mm. And this girl, who's probably in her 20s, said that her mum watched it and cried during it.
Yeah. There was a lot of them, like, because I think it's just the mental health aspect of mm-hmm. it as well, mm-hmm. and I think maybe we're like, and it still happens a lot when you talk about working on a documentary about menopause, that you will have a generation who will say, well, we sucked it up, we got on with it, and that's fair enough, but that doesn't mean that the next generation
should.
Absolutely. But I think there was a lot of openness on the part of the contributors and Grainne around just the difficulties emotionally. There's a lot of grief around fertility. There's a lot of there can just be anxiety that is inexplicable. And I learned so much, Claire.
And the rage.
Deirdre O'Kane talked about that.
Oh, she was hilarious.
Yeah, wasn't she good?
She was hilarious, but the hilarity was secondary to how, you know, meaningful the whole thing was to her, and how, what an impact it had in her life, and how intrinsic it was to her life. And
well, it's a big deal for someone, like, it's not, I know you can say, oh, menopause is so trendy at the moment. It's not. I mean, in the last 500 years there have been 4 documentaries on it.
Yes.
Davina McCall has spoken out about it.
Yes.
It's still a big deal for someone in the public eye to put themselves, like, on a practical level in that category.
In that bracket, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I loved working on it. But I'll be honest, when it was airing, I just find it, and this is probably every project, but more so with this, because the women were so open, you feel so nervous. Like, are they going to be happy with it? Are they going to be...
And have you spoken to them since?
I haven't heard anyone say anything negative, and they've gotten lovely feedback from people. And I think, I'm hoping anyway, that they felt a bit like empowered by it. And
And what the young girl... I literally at one stage, there was so much to her story. I don't want to spoil it for people, because I'm sure people can get it.
You can get it on the TG Car player.
Yeah.
And the RT player.
Great.
It's such a plug.
It comes up on my Instagram a lot of my stories to swipe up on it.
Okay.
And, but her story was so, like, I don't know how that girl is still standing after everything she's been through.
She is
But at
incredible.
One stage I was going, is that the same girl? Is that happening to the same person? So her story was really unique. I mean, but my favourite out of everyone was that older lady who talked about the women, the women who took their own lives.
Yeah.
And that there were rocks kind of named after them.
I don't think I was aware of that.
No.
So this was a lady who spoke about historically women in the past who would have just not coped well, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, would have walked into the sea, and there are rocks on the coastline named after them. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was quite an emotional moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when I look back, Rebecca, at 100%, my mum, like, had a horrendous time with the menopause.
Really?
Yeah, and just probably never diagnosed properly. Just, awful.
Yeah. I remember one of the things that happened that was lovely around filming was we shot a day and the cameraman texted me that night and said, on my way home, I called into my mum, who's in her 80s, to ask her what her experience of menopause was. And he said he had the loveliest chat with her.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was and I know that was what Grainne wanted as well, was that it wasn't just for
women.
No.
And that was interesting, having the chat then around the table with them.
Oh, Tom Coleman.
Yeah.
He was great, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was really good. And Roger watched it with me.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I think it's so important because, I mean, relationships do change.
I think they do.
And there was another woman in work, because it got then a whole conversation going, of course, in work today. And then another woman in work talked about, you know, the weight gain that she had experienced. And, of course, I was contributing to that conversation. And she was saying, yes, but so she's gone for the estrogen patch, but she was saying she stopped actually craving sugar.
Okay. Said, hormones are fascinating.
Oh my God, they're fascinating.
Mm. And so, the weight gain was an important part of it because you might think, oh, weight, I mean, there's so much more serious things going on, but it can be so all consuming. And it's,
plus, I do think it's, I mean, I would have, all my life, I have watched my weight. Like, I've been quite, I know that I put on weight easily. So I've always said I've been very controlled about it. I would have gone up by half a stone, down by half a stone, whatever. But it was always in the same place.
Mm.
And now it's just completely different. It's completely different. It's on my boobs. Like, I've never had boobs like this in my life. And over my belly. Never had a belly in my life. Even when I was carrying maybe a stone heavier or whatever. And now it's just completely different. So I don't even, when I catch sight of myself sometimes in a mirror, I'm going, is that me? It's mental.
And it's like when, because I'm similar to you, I would put on weight easily. But I know how to dress for when I, like, well, I think I do anyway. You won't disagree. But I think I can.
Yes, you can, you know, you can dress.
Yeah. So when it comes at you from a different way, it's a bit like, what the heck?
That's it. Exactly. And people go, oh, you'd never know. I'm, oh my gosh. And now I'm going, what the hell do I wear? Actually, the only positive thing has been, it's been quite healthy for my bank balance. But what the hell to be wearing now?
It's a funny one, isn't it? Do you know anyone who you feel genuinely doesn't have a kind of a funny relationship with their body? Do you think?
I know two women.
Do you?
Only because...
These elusive unicorns.
Yeah, and they're to my two closest friends, actually. Mary and Sharon, both born on the same day. And that just, it just must be their metabolism. Genuinely, it's just not a thing. It's just not a thing. But Sharon's diabetic, a type 1 diabetic. So she has to be very careful what she eats. But she would never...
So she probably thinks of food even as a different... It's fuel, it's...
Yeah, completely. Now she loves nice food and stuff, but it's just not a thing for her. And my friend Mary, who, I don't know, she's like a racehorse.
Okay.
You know, but she's genuinely a racehorse. Even she would never go to the gym or anything like that, but she's got like...
But I suppose my question is like, okay, so obviously in your eyes, they have a great physique, but they don't...
No, they just, it's okay. Not a thing for them. Like, it's not a, whereas most other women that I know, it's there or thereabouts in some way.
Do you feel like you, because I really am, like, I think I've probably since having Patter, and I said this to friends recently, I'm at my most body confident when I'm pregnant, which is mad. Oh. And I feel like I just, isn't that funny?
That's gorgeous.
It's funny, isn't it? And I wear like tight dresses.
Oh my God, I love it.
I wear it like I do. And I just, I'm really starting to go, stop wasting time. And I know maybe some people are probably listening to this going,
there was a soundbite there being used from Vicky Phelan over the last few days. I think it was one of the Virgin Media reporters was interviewing her. Can't remember now exactly who it was. But she was talking about, you know, life pre and post her diagnosis. And she was saying, I was like every other woman, thinking up too much about my body and my weight, and if I had an event to go to, thinking, oh, I'm not going to go to that, I've nothing to wear. And then afterwards it was like, life's too short, and all that wasted time, and we don't know what's ahead of us. And there's a lot of energy that goes into hating on ourselves unnecessarily. So someone even recently said to me last week, you are so unkind to yourself. I'm going, I'm aware of it, and I'm trying to be better at being kinder to myself. Like, I have put on a lot of weight in the last few years, and I've had a ball doing it. Like I really have. I've enjoyed every morsel of food that's gone into my body. But now I'm kind of at the stage now where I'm going, look, I don't want to be, like, I don't want my knees to be going. I don't want,
the practicalities, you know. Though.
Yeah, yeah. I want to be fit for my kids. I want to, you know.
So much pressure though, isn't it? Like, it's like, is there ever a phase in our life where we're not, you know, and I totally understand where you're coming from, because, you know, there is long-term benefits, obviously, to exercise and healthy eating and being as healthy as you can. But it's just, oh my God, it's relentless, isn't it?
Mm.
Like the body image.
And I will say that I've definitely, like, definitely 100% got more relaxed about things like, you know, throwing on a bikini and going into the ocean or being on a beach.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny. It's not even that the body thing. It's like wanting to feel nice in clothes.
Okay.
More so.
Yeah.
I kind of don't care when it's like, do you know, on a, it's funny. I don't really care when it's on a beach or it's, I don't give a shit who sees me in that. Like, I just want to, I like clothes. I've always loved fashion.
Yeah.
So I want to feel nice in the clothes.
Yeah.
I want to show them off well and
yeah, I know
feel good
mean.
In them. And I want to be healthy. But I've definitely lost that. Like, I wouldn't be trying to get dressed under a towel or anything. I wouldn't give a damn.
Oh. I love it.
Yeah. Come down to Sea Point.
Have you ever... sunbathe topless?
Oh God, yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Not in Ireland.
I've played ping pong topless.
Is that a metaphor? Or
no.
Is that legal?
Totally legal.
What the heck are you doing playing ping pong topless?
On a beach, everybody else is doing. I thought, oh, I'll have a bit of that. And just... Boing.
Oh, sorry, so funny.
No. Yeah, there you go. How did we get onto that? Oh yeah, your documentary.
How do you follow that?
I think topless ping pong.
We've got a title for our episode anyway.
Oh my God, we sure do.
It's such clickbait, isn't it?
I know.
I hope people aren't disappointed with the story. We'll be providing visuals on our socials.
No, we won't.
Shall we talk about anything that's up and coming?
Yes.
That's caught our eye. I have a lovely list.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Brilliant. Go for it.
You know me. You know I have a list.
You're so prepared.
Tomorrow night, Thursday. So this will go out on a Thursday. So hopefully... it will be tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, tomorrow's Thursday,
isn't
it? You're
going to have this ready for tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to try.
God, you're some whiz kid.
I'm going to try. I'll try my best. I saw on BBC One Thursday at 9 o'clock, Oti Mabuse has My South Africa.
Oh.
So she left South Africa more than 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the country has changed radically since then. Now she returns to revisit her childhood home and the people and places that inspired her. I think... I love her.
Oh, me too.
Do you know that she has a show on CBeebies that teaches a dance routine?
Stop it.
It's amazing. Me and Patty do it together.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she's so fab. So, I went to South Africa on my honeymoon, did I tell you that?
So did I.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Why did we never have this conversation before?
I don't know.
Oh, we did the usual.
Same as.
Cape Town and the Garden,
Garden Route. Yeah. Loved it.
I have an invite back for January.
From who?
From
the Ping Pong Association.
From the Queen of South Africa.
I kind of want to keep it mysterious. I have an invite back from the government.
Yes, exactly.
From
an ambassador. a girl that I used to work with has a place in South Africa.
Whereabouts?
Just outside Cape Town.
Go.
I know.
It's my dream.
To go back.
To go back with Patter and whoever this new baby becomes when they're like 10, 12 and do a safari again.
Yeah.
That's just...
Which safari did you do?
Oh, what was it called?
Shimwari?
Any time you mention it, no one's ever heard of it. What the heck was it called?
Cougar?
No.
Cougar, no, it's not Cougar.
Cougar Town.
Cougar.
Carriera National Park it was called.
Good.
Yeah, it was
Where was it
V stunning.
Oh, Port Elizabeth End.
Yes, exactly. We went through Port Elizabeth.
Yeah.
This is years ago now, Claire. You know, I'm an old married
woman. Well, sure, I was 20 years married last month. I loved it.
So did I.
I loved it. Where else did you go?
So we flew into Cape Town and we just travelled east then, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
East along the Garden Route.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Did you go to Nisna?
Yes, I think we did.
Yeah.
We stopped at the place where all the ostriches are.
Oh, what's that? Where's that?
A bizarre place that people like ride ostriches, which we
didn't do. Did you go to Hermanus? Where the whales are?
Did you go see the penguins?
Yes.
They're really smelly.
Oh no, I can't remember that.
I remember that. Yeah, I loved it. I just loved it.
Food was amazing.
Oh yeah, the wine.
And the wine.
Stellenbosch.
Stellenbosch, yeah.
Oh, where was the place we stayed? It wasn't Stellenbosch, but we stayed in this amazing hotel. Anyway, this is probably not great, yeah. But it was, yeah. Will you watch that?
Oh, I will, yeah.
I think that'd be good. Oh, okay, I put this film in because I loved it. You've probably seen it. Philomena is on BBC4.
Oh, is it?
Thursday at 9. It's a beautiful one, isn't
it? Yeah, really good. Actually, they're making another, the BBC are making a documentary, I think it is, about the Magdalen Laundries.
From an English perspective, kind of, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, God, wow, okay.
Just let me check. They're definitely, BBC are definitely doing something on the Magdalen Laundries.
Okay, check that out for me. I'd like to know more. So that's Judi Dench and Steve Coogan. Okay, I don't know how you'll feel about this. Kenny Rogers, All In for the Gambler, BBC 4, Friday at 9 o'clock. Do you love country music?
Love Kenny Rogers.
Okay. Do you like love American country music?
I'm not massive, but I love Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Yeah, same.
Like, literally, the Gambler. I mean, my dad would have had all that going in our house.
Yeah.
And even remember, Roger and I got stuck in Athens one time, long story, but there was a Kenny Rogers chicken shop. And I was in my element. It was just playing Kenny Rogers music in a chicken shop in Athens. Random story. I would definitely watch that. I love him.
That's it's yeah. So basically what it is, it's
islands
a it's a,
in the stream. That is what we
fought a song. So it's a star-studded concert honoring the country music superstar.
Oh, amazing.
And with loads of special guests. So that looked good.
Lovely.
Here's another one. It looks good. It's a BBC 4 drama. And it's called Senorita 89 and it's starting Saturday at 9 o'clock.
Mm.
There are two episodes back to back. So it's a drama exploring dark secrets behind the scenes at Miss Mexico pageant.
Oh.
Yeah, it's in Spanish. Okay. I don't know why. It just looked good. So I'm going to check it out. Will you watch that as well? You can.
Yeah.
Kingdom of Dreams continues Sunday at 8 o'clock. Okay,
I'm definitely watching that.
Please, Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Definitely.
Monday, RT1, 9:35, Saipan, Rebel Without a Ball.
Oh, is this Roy? Raquin, Roy?
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God, I was so team Roy the whole way through it. I know he's a bit obstreperous, but oh my God, you have to love him. Do you not have to love him?
No, I like him, but my like for him pales in comparison to that of my husband. I can't tell you.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I know. I think Roy is his favorite Cork person, myself included. I saw this, and I don't really know what it is. It's a 15-minuter. It's a BBC One, Monday at 7:45. Northern Irish love stories.
Oh my God! I'm gonna have to watch that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Is it one of those ones that was on the player, and they are broadcasting it? So it's couples talking about their love stories and how dating has changed over the years, as well as reflecting on famous romantic scenes from TV and film.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Doesn't sound lovely.
Yeah, it does. Did you watch the first series of The Mosquito Coast?
I've never even heard of that, Claire, so I'm going to say safely no.
So The Mosquito Coast was based on a book written by Paul Theroux, who is Justin Theroux's uncle.
And Louise.
And Louise, something to Louise, something obviously.
Yeah.
And first series was, I mean, it definitely kept your attention the whole way through. So it's kind of based on this off the grid inventor who was taking his whole family to escape to South America. And you never knew why the whole way through. And it was only revealed towards the end what they'd done.
Is this a Netflix series?
Apple.
Okay.
Now, little caveat, Justin Theroux kind of looks too cool in it.
Okay.
You know, his clothes are really cool and stuff. And it just is a little bit contrived in that way.
And miscast, would you go as far to say?
I would nearly say miscast. Okay. He probably got the gig because of, he produced it as well.
Okay.
So, but the second series is coming out tonight, Wednesday.
And it's worth checking out?
Yeah, I think so. I do. I would definitely watch it. It held my attention. There's something else that I saw, Circuit Breakers, again on Apple. And it's 14 separate tales revolving around one central idea. What happens when the emotional when the emotional development of children is sidelined and or warped by technology.
Ooh.
And it gets good review.
So tell me where that's on.
That's on Apple TV Plus as well.
Oh, that sounds good.
Do you know what we didn't actually talk about? Just to say that there are still some people out there, I think possibly you included, who hasn't watched Bad Sisters.
You know why?
Because you don't have Apple.
Exactly. Get it.
Get it. So good. So good. And the second series has been announced.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's really good.
I feel a little bit shamed there now. I feel like you...
judged you?
You bad sister shamed me.
Well, I think you need to get on the program. Like, it's just... that's fabulous. Okay, you have to watch
it. I know. I will.
Yeah. And the other thing that we didn't talk about that came out that last week was The Crown.
I didn't... No, it's okay. I'm afraid now after your reaction to my lack of Bad Sisters.
Have you never watched The Crown?
I have. I mean, I've seen episodes.
It's not into. You see, you're just
I've never committed to it.
No. You might enjoy this series.
Well, because it's recognisable faces.
Mm. Yeah.
So you've started, have you?
Yeah, I'm not like going, oh my God, it's amazing. But it is kind of intriguing all the same.
Yeah, I know. We spoke about it the last time, didn't we? We did. It's a bit...
It's interesting how up in arms the British establishment and well-known Brits are about it.
Oh, really? It's all kicking off, is it?
Yeah, it's all kicking off. I have something for you to watch.
Hit me.
I don't know if you've ever watched this. This is the third series.
Okay.
On Netflix.
Okay, I have a Netflix.
Off Motherland.
Okay, I will accept that challenge because I've seen episodes but I haven't
committed to it.
Yes, and I would love that.
It's so good.
Especially in the state that I'm in.
You should kind of watch it from the start, I think.
Okay, I will.
Just so that you get into the...
Is it... I will. Because there's a few mothering type series that I think I've watched a few of. But no, I will. I'd love to get into that.
Yeah, there's an Australian one that I didn't like at all.
The one, The Letdown...
Yes, I think so, but I didn't like it.
Okay.
The only thing I would say, I've watched one episode of the first series and there's a new character in it. And at least I don't remember her in the last series anyway. And she's annoying. I don't think she's a great actress, which is a bit of a pity. The main character is a phenomenal actress. We've seen her in loads of stuff. Can't remember her name.
Okay, well, but I will accept that challenge.
Good.
Claire, lovely to see you.
It's been so nice.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It always just lifts me.
Okay, lovely. Chat to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.